Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about the ASUS ZenFone Max Pro M2. Now, this phone is important in the smartphone industry because this is the successor to the ASUS ZenFone Max Pro M1, which is one of our favorite budget smartphones. Now, the ASUS ZenFone Max Pro M1 has gone on sale multiple times at 10,000 rupees as its starting price. The Max Pro M2 is on a slightly higher price segment, but it's still pretty good value for money in our opinion, and we are going to be talking about its performance. So to do all of that, we have our in-house Android enthusiast and reviewer, Aditya Shenoy.
Hello guys.
And I'm your host, Pranay Parab. So Aditya, first let's talk about the price of the ASUS ZenFone Max Pro M2. I believe there are three variants, right?
Yeah. So you have the lowest variant with 3GB of RAM, 32GB of internal storage, the other with 4GB of RAM, 64GB of internal storage, and the final one with 664. So the pricing starts at 12,999 rupees. After that, you have the second variant at 14,999 rupees, and the final variant is at 16,999 rupees.
And our review unit was?
The middle variant, 4GB RAM with 64GB of internal storage, and it's about 14,999.
All right, so with the ASUS ZenFone Max Pro M1, there was one minor issue which confused people, which is that the highest end variant had better cameras as well.
Yeah.
So with the Max Pro M2, that's not the case, right?
Yeah, thankfully it's not the case, because it kind of gets confusing as well, because you kind of lose track of which phone has the better camera, which is the one that is more value for money, and which one you should ultimately go for. So yeah, the Max Pro M2 does not have that issue. All specs are similar. The only difference is in the RAM and storage.
Yeah, so price you said is 13,000, 15,000 and 17,000.
Yeah.
So at the sub 15,000 rupee price bracket, there is a lot of competition. But with the Max Pro M2, the reason we are so excited about this phone is that this brings the Qualcomm Snapdragon 660 chip to a really low price. So at 13,000 rupees, I think this is probably the cheapest phone in the market right now with that particular chip. And so far, that's only been seen in phones that were priced 15,000 rupees and above.
Yeah. So, and even 15,000 was considered like a really good deal, because when the Mi A2 came out, you can go and check our podcast. At that time, we were really excited because mostly the 660 was there on the Nokia 7 Plus, which was like a 25,000 rupee phone. And that same specs at near 16,000 rupees, we were really excited. So this is again like the cheapest one out there.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. To use a horribly tough sounding word, I'm going to say 2018 was the year of the democratization of these high-end chips.
Yeah,
yeah, so
you can say that.
Snapdragon 845 had a phone that cost 20,000 rupees in the Poco F1. And now we have the Snapdragon 660 at 13,000. So now, the ZenFone Max Pro M2, let's start with the performance of this phone. Since it has a really good chip, you reviewed the 4GB RAM and 64GB storage variant. So have you had any issues with performance? Anything
okay.
you noticed?
So performance-wise, did not notice any issues, because, well, the chip is a powerful SoC. So I've used that particular chipset in multiple other smartphones, and the experience was similar. So that way, and plus the advantage is that here, ASUS has gone with stock Android, so you don't have Zen UI on top, so it's pure stock Android, no animations whatsoever, so it's good, like smooth sailing throughout.
Okay then, so now because you mentioned that, I actually find it a little funny. They do call it stock Android. There are only three pre-installed apps, which Facebook Messenger and
Instagram. Yeah.
So I really don't know what's stopping them from going all in and saying that, okay, let's join the Android One program. That's one thing I would really like to see
so
on this phone.
I think the reason that they haven't opted for, say, the Android One program is that with the Android One program, you have to have a guarantee of providing timely security as well as Android updates. Maybe ASUS does not want to do that, and that is what is stopping it from enrolling itself in the Android One program, because they are doing everything that is defined in the to-do list of, say, the Android One program out there. So maybe ASUS can enroll itself in this program for, say, the ZenFone Max Pro M3, maybe.
Okay then, so before we talk about the build and design of this phone, let me air some complaints about this branding strategy.
Yeah.
Now, you already had the ZenFone brand long ago.
Yes. Yeah.
That brand was already pretty confusing with ZenFone 4 Selfie, ZenFone 4 Zoom, ZenFone Max. So nobody could tell which phone is different from the other and how. Now we have the ZenFone Max Pro M1, which is already a pretty difficult name to pronounce. And then the successor is the Max Pro M2. and creating confusion is there is one more phone called the Zenfone Max M1 and then the Zenfone Max M2. So now just remove the Pro from in between and then there's a completely different line of phones out there.
Yeah, so that is going to cause confusion. And the problem is that the branding, the name is quite hard to pronounce because it's like Asus Zenfone Max Pro M2. And it's really hard to convey it as well when you're talking to someone about a particular phone. The Pro badging pretty much like it was there on the M1. The Pro dictates that it's the one with the better processor, the more powerful processor. Whereas the M2, for instance, it has a Snapdragon 632. So it's not as powerful as the 660, but it is still, I would say, better than what you have with the other offerings out there. But I think I'll wait for the full review.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That phone is also under review right now.
Yeah.
So, once the review is complete, we'll actually be able to share our thoughts on that one. All right. So complaints about branding aside. Now, with the Zenfone Max Pro M2, is there anything like that maybe, distinguishes its design in terms of the build quality? Can you like hold it and say that, okay, this is the Max Pro M2 and not the Max Pro M1?
Okay, the first thing that you'll instantly notice is that the Max Pro M2 has a glossy back. And this is a plastic laminate kind of a glass. Like a back, it's not glass, it's like a plastic laminate. Whereas the Max Pro M1, it had a metal backplate. So in terms of feel, in-hand feel and the way the appearance, the Max Pro M2 is flashy, whereas the Pro M1 isn't. At the same time, the Pro M2 also picks up scratches very easily because it's a laminate and it's not metal. So that is the one issue that you'll see instantly. Like, this is the easiest way to distinguish between the two.
What comes in the box? Is there a case in the box?
Yes, there is like a thin plastic case in the box. So you can use that.
Yeah, all right. And what about smudges and fingerprints?
Oh, so laminate. So yeah, it picks up smudges easily, fingerprints easily, and also tiny hairline scratches very easily.
Okay, that's bad from a cosmetic standpoint. This is something we've been seeing from the days of the iPod Touch, even though that was not laminate, whatever, it was a proper metal thing. But yeah,
a glossy finish does attract a lot of fingerprints.
Yeah, also tiny little scratches, which are nothing but cosmetic damage. Yeah. So now, apart from that, now from a build standpoint, do you have any complaints apart from those minor cosmetic issues? Does it feel sturdy? And are there any major features that it lacks, such as, a fingerprint scanner, which has been missing from a lot of phones in the price segment?
No. So the Max Pro M2, actually, it does not feel cheap. It does have good quality plastic. I do not have any flexing or creaking noises when I try to, see if it actually is...
Don't try this at home.
No, kids. Yeah, don't try this. You might break your device. So nothing there. Build quality-wise, it's solid for the price that it is commanding. Though I would say that the Nokias are doing slightly better than Asus because they're using glass in the construction. It feels premium. Like when you hold it in the hand, say a glossy black, glossy back, like you put a bit of more pressure on the back and you can see the reflections on it change, which means that it is getting depressed. So that way I would say that the glass back feels more premium. So that way I would go for a glass back over this one.
All right. So any other features that are missing, like a fingerprint scanner or
something? No. So this does have the fingerprint scanner. It also has face recognition. But while using it, I found that the fingerprint scanner isn't particularly fast. So yeah, that is something that I think Asus needs to take a look at.
All right. So people ask a lot about two features. One is there a notification LED on this one? And the second one, is there a dedicated micro SD card slot if it's a dual SIM phone?
Yeah. So I think notification LED is a surprising entry because I've seen a lot of people asking it even in the comment section of our reviews. So yes, it does have a notification LED and this is positioned right next to the earpiece. So what Asus has done with the Max Pro M2 is that they've moved the earpiece out of the notch area just so that they can make the notch tiny. So yes, you do get a notification LED. It's on the top. And apart from that, the second question was?
About the dedicated micro SD card slot.
So yes, the Max Pro M2 does have a dedicated micro SD card slot. So it's a 3-slot design for the SIM tray. You get 2 nano SIM slots and a dedicated micro SD card slot. And this is dual 4G and dual VoLTE.
All right. So let's talk about the display now.
Yeah.
What's the design like? Does it have a notch? Is it an all-screen design with that, Samsung-style tiny little bezels at the top and bottom?
So this thing has a notch. It's a small notch. Now, Asus has gone to huge lengths to, present it in their whole presentation that this is the smallest notch. They've compared it to other notches.
Yeah, guys, look, this is a design compromise and it's the smallest design compromise out there. Yeah. Just appreciate us for that. Why not?
I think, yeah, they went kind of too far with it. You can just say that it's a notch. It is tinier, but it's not as tiny as, say, the Realme U1, which has that dewdrop notch that they call it. Apart from that, the bezels on the side are thin on three sides, but the one on the bottom is thicker. So that way, it's still not as super thin. But again, at this price point, you won't expect like near bezel-less design anyway.
Okay, then. So is there any other aspect of the looks or the build that you want to highlight, or can you move on to the performance, the camera and all these
things? I think design-wise, I would say that ASUS could have gone with a USB Type-C port, considering most other smartphones in this price range have slowly started shifting to the Type-C port. While ASUS chose to stick with micro USB.
Alright, they also have a headphone jack for all you headphone jack fans out there. Okay then, so far so good, minor issues, but doesn't seem too bad. So with the performance, you mentioned that, you know, you faced no issues in real world usage. Yeah. But I wanted to ask you about gaming in particular, since we have a lot of people in India who sit and play PUBG, and that's known to be a resource intensive game. So what have you noticed?
So PUBG, because this is a Snapdragon 660, so this does run it at the medium setting. We could play it for, I played it for 25 minutes straight, and it does get a little warm, not hot, nothing alarming, but it does get a little warm to the touch. Not a lot of, like, I haven't encountered stutters on it because the 660 is known to play it easily. And the PUBG is playable. Like, even Asphalt 9 would be playable at its default settings.
Okay, and some phones tend to get warm when you're recording videos and all that. Any such issues on this
one? I think with 4K recording, any phone, like even the Snapdragon 845 powered ones, do get hot. So while recording 1080p video, I've recorded it for shorter durations just to check how the video output is. So haven't noticed heating, say for a 1 minute or 2 minute clip of 4K and 1080p. But I would imagine that 4K for longer would heat the device up.
That's, you know, standard. Nothing alarming. Okay. So now, since we were speaking about recording, let's move on to the camera. Because this is one aspect of these budget phones that is usually disappointing.
Yeah.
So with this, let's talk about photography first and then we'll go to videos.
Okay. So in terms of photos, this uses a 12 megapixel primary sensor and a 5 megapixel depth sensor for all the bokeh shots, and a 13 megapixel selfie camera out here. So first of all, the camera, while clicking photos on it, I've seen that it has a slight issue with getting the exposure right. Mostly if you click it in broad daylight, like around noon or something, when you have like bright light, it tends to overexpose images. So that is something that I think ASUS needs to work on. Apart from that, low light, as expected, you don't get a lot of details. Like the images, when you look at it as is, it's really nice, but you zoom in and you will see details missing out. Macro performance is good. It can detect that you're shooting at a particular subject, and it can blur the background out without you having to tap multiple times. At the same time, there is a portrait mode which lets you select the level of blur you want for the background. And if you set the blur really high, it does look artificial. But apart from that, it has good edge detection. Selfies, well, it's good. There is beautification mode and also face recognition. So it recognizes your face and ensures that it doesn't focus. Even when you're clicking with more than one people in the frame, it does that really well. In terms of the software, I think AI scene detection is not available.
It's coming in an update in December.
Yeah, exactly. So it's getting there. So it will be coming in an update in December. And also, the phone currently ships with 8.1 Ori, and ASUS says that they will update the phone to 9 Pi in January 2019. So that's good things to look for.
Yeah, what about the video recording on this one?
So video recording maxes out at 4K for the primary camera and 1080p for the selfie shooter. There is electronic image stabilization, but it's only there at 1080p, and it does a decent job at stabilizing shakes. So that way, it's a good camera. Now, in the December update, ASUS also is saying that it will bring EIS and a portrait feature to the selfie camera.
That's actually good to hear. And, you know, this reminded me of the Realme U1. which is a competing smartphone. So that one doesn't have video stabilization at all.
At all, yeah.
So now optical image stabilization is better than electronic image stabilization because that's like the hardware-based one. But if you have EIS, that's actually, you know, that's it's not like a bad thing.
But as long as you have stabilization, it's good because, you know, I think it would depend on the people who would be picking up as well, because I personally don't record a lot of videos. But yeah, for someone who is looking to capture like click photos and capture videos, then yes, definitely EIS is something you should look for.
Yeah, but if you're recording in 4K, do yoga, improve your core stability, and then, you know, go
or
with
just
like...
get a gimbal.
Okay, then. So the battery life is something that I've been wondering about. Now, I know that your standard loop test is there, so I'd like to hear the results of that, where we play an HD video in loop. And the second thing I would like to know is, you know, when you do something like play an intensive game or something for maybe half an hour or so, how much does the battery drain?
Okay, so first, the HD video loop test. So this phone went on for 17 hours and 58 minutes, which is nearly 18 hours. And that's pretty good. At the same time, with gaming, I did play the 25 minutes of PUBG. I was mainly playing war mode multiple times. So that, I have an active WhatsApp account that's constantly, you know, you're bombarded with messages there. And apart from that, I ended the day with still over 50% left in the tank. Like, I've also used it for close to 2 hours of navigation using Google Maps. So I think the battery life is pretty impressive. Usually, say when I use the phone for navigation, the device tends to heat up and drop battery suddenly, like drop battery percentage suddenly. But the Max Pro M2 doesn't do that. So that is something I liked about the device. Like, 30 minute of navigation only resulted in a 2% battery drain. So yeah, that is good.
Yeah, good to see. So 5000 milliampere hour battery optimized reasonably well. Yeah. And day-to-day use, it'll last a day and a half or so?
Easily, easily. If it depends on your usage. If you're gaming a lot, you might need to plug it in probably next morning. But if you have like a medium usage, mixed pattern wherein you're not really heavy on the gaming, but you're doing everything else, like you have a mail account that's syncing and you use it for navigation, you should be able to get a day and a half easily out of it.
Right. That's good to hear. Is there anything else that you want to maybe mention about this smartphone that people would want to know, or like, you know, have we wrapped up all the major topics?
Well, I think we have covered all the major topics. What I would like to see is that... Asus, like with the Max Pro M2, they have fixed a lot of things, like with software. Like the camera has been improved, the battery life has been improved. Now, on the M2, the battery life is good. I would expect them to have to improve the camera performance on it, because, like I said, photos, the output from the cameras can be improved further. I still think there's scope for improvement there. And that's the only disappointing part there.
Yeah, so the low-light photos, are they like really noisy and grainy?
No. So, noisy, no. Grainy, well, you do see slightly bigger grains. It's primarily because of an aggressive noise reduction algorithm that they are running on it.
Okay, then. Yeah, overall, that's pretty good news. So, now let's look at the competition. The Realme U1 is one phone that competes with this one. In terms of performance, like, how does the MediaTek Helio P70 stack against the Snapdragon 660?
So if I recollect correctly, the P70 has got a better score in terms of CPU benchmark. So when we usually run benchmarks, we compare it to in terms of CPU and GPU. So CPU benchmarks are better with the MediaTek Helio P70, but in terms of GPU performance, it's still not as good as the Snapdragon 660. So basically, if you do a lot of multitasking, if you run a lot of apps, I think the P70 will have the edge. But if you're gaming, the Snapdragon 660 has an edge here. So for example, I just have the scores with me right now. So GFX Bench T-Rex running on the Zenfone Max Pro M2, it manages like 42 frames per second. And the Realme U1 could only manage 35. So there's a difference there. So gaming performance, you will see like a difference out there.
So. Yeah, so while the Realme U1 is actually a pretty solid phone at that price, which is around 12,000 rupees, it has some weaknesses. Like video stabilization is not there. So that's one major weakness. And the other one is that Color OS is still not our favorite, even though they've improved a lot of things about that.
Yeah.
It's still a custom OS like based on Android, which is something that we are not huge fans of. It does not guarantee security updates, etc.
Yeah. So, see, when it comes to the UI, I think it's again like a personal choice because I prefer stock Android. A lot of people I know prefer MIUI because of the whole interface and the features that it offers. I'd say that Color OS had a few issues earlier, which we've pointed it time and again in our reviews, and they have fixed it. So I'd say the U1 is, the ColorOS is better from where it initially started, but it's still not as user-friendly or as intuitive as stock Android. So that is one issue that I have with ColorOS. Apart from that, say for the U1, it does not have the same kind of battery life as the Max Pro M2. Like in our video loop test, it managed 14 hours and 56 minutes, which is lower, like, you know, probably 3 hours lower than the Max Pro M2. So if you are like a power user, or you use your phone for watching videos or, you know, intensive tasks which demands a lot of battery, the Max Pro M2 seems like a better companion to do that.
All right, I'll throw you a curveball. What about the Xiaomi Mi A2, which is, you know, a part of the Android One program, has the Snapdragon 660 processor, and is priced at what, 16,000 rupees?
Yeah. So the Xiaomi Mi A2 is priced at 16,000 rupees, if I'm not wrong. Yeah, it's recently got a price cut and it's at 15,999. Now, here are a few issues that I have with it. Now, both devices are stock Android. The only benefit you get with the Mi A2 is that there's a guarantee of software updates, whereas Asus can very well say that, you know, okay, Android Pie is the last update we are giving for the Max Pro M2, but that's not going to be the case with the Mi A2. That said, the battery life on the Mi A2 wasn't good. So you get a smaller battery, 3000 milliamp hour battery, whereas with the Asus, you have a bigger battery.
Funnily enough, that's like probably the only Xiaomi phone that doesn't have great battery life for the price range that it is.
Yeah,
in.
Surprising.
Yeah.
Apart from that, the cameras on the Mi A2 are really nice.
Hmm.
And so that if you are looking for a phone which does click good photos, in this particular budget, the Mi A2 is pretty much on the top, right there.
Yeah, but the Asus Zenfone Max Pro M2 has like undercut the Mi A2 by quite a big margin,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
So, the Mi A2, I think it comes with what, 4 GB of RAM in the base variant?
Yeah, 464. And yeah. 6128 is the other variant.
Yeah, so with for the 464 at 16,000 rupees versus, you know, the Max Pro M2 15. Being at 15, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a 1,000 rupee difference here, but It depends on what you really want from a phone.
Performance and battery life, then you go towards Max Pro M2. And also you want to save on the
price. Because the performance would be the same. Like, because it's the performance is out because both perform similarly. I'd say if you want battery life, only battery life is a very high thing on your priority list, then the Max Pro M2, and you save money as well. But if you want the device to be future-proof, if you want really good cameras at that price point, and you don't mind charging it multiple times, like you'll probably need to charge it at least once a day. So then the Mi A2 is a good choice.
Yeah, but with the Mi A2, you don't get a headphone jack, you don't get
an expandable
storage slot.
That is a compromise as well.
Yeah.
So no headphone jack, no this. So yeah, actually when you look at it, the Max Pro M2 does look a lot better.
Yeah, only the cameras are like much better on the Mi A2.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think the Android update scene is that bad for most people with the Max Pro M2 either.
Yeah, so you're anyways getting Pi, and the next version of Android is still probably 11 months away.
Hmm.
So in this price range, for someone who's constantly looking at the best deal, would probably update it after a year or maybe two. So the Pro M2 will still age well.
Yeah, I hope so. But you know what? Like, it's really funny how things change. Like, just maybe 2 months ago, we were saying the Motorola One Power is a really good deal. The Nokia 6.1 Plus is also a really good deal in this price range, the 16,000 rupee price range. And then suddenly now we have like the Realme U1 and the Max Pro M2 upping the game so much that those phones look like poor value for money at this point.
So I think that's how it has 2018 has been in the tech space, because you had the OnePlus 6, which was around 35,000 rupees, and you were like, okay, it's a good phone. You have like a flagship grade processor at 35,000 rupees. And then you had the Zenfone 5Z, which was 30,000 rupees. And you're like, okay, there's nothing wrong with the 5Z. It's undercutting the OnePlus 6 and it's good. And then you have the Poco F1 that comes waltzing in and it's priced at 21,000 rupees. And then it gets a price cut to 20,000 rupees. So I think 2018 has been a price war. Yeah. I would say price war. In every particular segment, you've had a price war wherein you had a manufacturer launching a device with an aggressive price and someone else coming in and undercutting that.
Yeah, so you know what I'd like to see in 2019? All these great cameras coming to the sub 20,000 rupee price bracket. Yeah, Mi A2, while it does have good cameras, is still not anywhere close to what we see in the flagship phones. So, you know, that's my next wish list. Sub 20,000, give a great camera.
I think that's my request as well.
Yeah, so maybe the Pixel 3 Lite will launch and nobody will buy it, and then they'll start a fire sale at 25,000 or 20,000 or something.
I'll buy it at 20.
All right, that's all we have for this episode of Orbital, and we'll see you with another episode next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. And if you use any apps to listen to podcasts, such as Apple Podcasts on your iPhone and Google Podcasts on your Android phone, please do rate us, review us, subscribe to this show. These things, they help us a lot. Thank you so much for listening.